Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of our Grom Squad podcast series around Whiskey Throttle Media. I'm your host, Brent Bowser. Before we jump in the podcast, I want to give a shout out to Racetech for coming on board and sponsoring our podcast. They're a big supporter of Whiskey Throttle Media. You can go on to racetech.com and see all the different parts and services they offer, suspension work, motor work, and just a whole lot of other things they can do. So if you haven't had a chance to check them out, go on to racetech.com and see what products and services they have available. We're back here today with Rockstar Energy Husqvarna rider Casey Cochran. What's going on, Casey? How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Stoked to have you on. I know I chatted with you, I think it was already last year, after A2 Futures were, it was your first Futures race, and you kind of shocked yourself and everybody else. So I wanted to get you back on here after, you know, the successful 2023 year that you had, and talk to you a little bit about that, and also 2024. So should be cool to dive into. But before we do that, were you at Anaheim this past weekend for the first round of Supercross?
I was there just hanging out watching some racing.
What do you think of it? Were you pretty stoked to be there, thinking, you know, one day you'll be at A1? We'll talk about the East Coast Supercross this year, but is it a different feeling now that knowing you're pretty close to being out there with those guys and you're just kind of taking it all in?
Yeah, it's always cool to go to a race and, like, I guess not race, like having no pressure, you're just hanging out. But definitely, like, watching now when you realize you're close, like, this will be me in, I don't know, 10 weeks or something. So I definitely, maybe makes it a little bit more nerve wracking, but yeah, it's a cool idea and I'm excited.
Yeah. And definitely with RJ kicking it off, he shows, you know, with that win on Saturday, what your guys' bikes are all about in your program. So, I mean, that has to obviously give you a little bit of confidence too about the program and the bike and everything.
100%. Now, I mean, he's proven it. The bike is good enough to win. So now we just got to do the same thing.
Yeah, no, it was cool to see him. You know, he's been in the class a long time and he's always been super fast. And it was cool to see him, you know, win A1. And he just looked comfortable all day and he really, you know, he made his way through the pack in the main and he just made it almost look too easy, you know, so hopefully he can keep it rolling.
Yeah, we made a lot of progress on the bike this year compared to last year. So I know he's a lot more comfortable. I'm a lot more comfortable. So yeah, we're ready to see what we can do.
Well, cool, man. So like 2023, I mentioned, you know, you did your first Futures race at A2. You got second. You're actually leading that thing. And I remember I talked to you, you know, after that weekend and you were like, man, you got up front, you're like, wait, I'm not even supposed to be here. So to go from there, you know, you got a couple seconds and you also won Salt Lake City and you ended up winning the Supercross Futures Championship as a B rider. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. But looking back at that, were you pretty shocked to get to that point where you won the whole thing, where you were probably in the beginning just looking to get experience in riding Supercross?
Yeah, so definitely towards the beginning of the Futures season last year, it was more of a kind of just dabble, you know, get your feet wet, don't really worry about the results. But then after New Jersey, which I got fourth there, I wasn't happy with the fourth at all. And looking back, I would have been stoked with a fourth at A2. Mm-hmm. And being upset with the fourth in Jersey, just with where I feel like I should have been, my whole outlook on it changed. And going into Salt Lake, I was, even going back to Jersey, it was kind of I had the mental sense of like, these guys are better than me. Mm-hmm. And that whole kind of mindset changed going towards Salt Lake. I was like, I don't care who it is in front of me, I'm going to go out and try and win. So whenever, in that main event at Salt Lake, I remember I came out third, and if it was like the earlier rounds, I probably would have just like tried to settle and like stay third. But I was like, all right, we're going to go and spend it and try and run with these guys and get a win. And Juju and Dax crashed right in front of me on that first lap. And I was like, oh, well, this changes the the whole outlook of the race. So then after that, I was just trying to, you know, stay up and stay in the lead. So, and ended up being able to do that, which was fun. And I was stoked on the result there.
Yeah. And it had to be pretty cool, you know, not only getting the experience, but also coming away it's really like the first, that was really like the first real year of, you know, they had futures in a different sense, I would say. And that was kind of like the first year where they had this like official series and championship. So it had to have been pretty cool coming out on top at the end of the series, you know, and also gaining experience along the way.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely helped with just learning the tracks and the schedule throughout the day. And it was a good experience last year.
Yeah. And I can imagine, think about these guys, think about RJ coming up, you know, they didn't have these type of races that you guys are doing now. And I think it's a good step in the right direction to get, you know, the amateur guys on the Supercross tracks, real Supercross tracks, in front of the fans in the program. So it's cool what they're doing. And we'll talk about the Moto Combines as well. But do you think it's beneficial to the amateur riders to have these futures around?
For sure. It's definitely a very beneficial program that they made up. And I'm super thankful that I'm young enough to be able to experience it, because just with learning these tracks, because you can ride a practice Supercross track all you want, but when you're in a stadium and race under the lights, it makes it completely different.
Yeah. And you guys, you know, you're down at Baker's Factory. And I know there's, you know, multiple Supercross tracks down there, but going to these different tracks and learning the layouts, different layouts and things like that. Is it hard? Because when you ride the practice track, it's usually the same tracks, you know, you have a couple, but then you go to these races and every track is different. Does it take a little bit to get used to that? Or is that something you're picking up on pretty quickly?
Yeah. So at first, whenever you're first like learning Supercross or maybe learning a few new tracks, it's all kind of tough, you know, learning these rhythms and triples and stuff. But once you learn probably about 10 different tracks, it all kind of like blends together, because all the triples are mostly the same size and the triples and the rhythms, you can kind of just gauge and know. So before you even go out on the track, you normally have an idea of what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not too bad anymore, but definitely learning previously, it would be a little more difficult. But once you learn more and more tracks, it definitely gets easier.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you mentioned, it's the triples are usually the same distance, and you know, the rhythms, the 3.53s, you know, they'll change them. But once you get those kind of dialed, that it's pretty straightforward. But looking at Anaheim this past weekend, that finish line double was not your typical finish line, I don't think. I think it was gnarly.
And that thing was huge. I remember watching the 450C group practice, and I saw over a handful of guys frame that thing. And I was scared myself watching. I was like, I don't even want to go out there.
I don't know if you saw this.
I've heard multiple guys like before, like if they have a C group for a 250 class, mm-hmm. they're like, don't even watch the C group, because it'll just make you even more scared of this stuff that's easy, because they make it look way scarier than it is.
I know. I was kind of bummed they didn't have a 250C this past weekend. That's usually my favorite practice to watch. I don't know if you saw the guy. I don't know if you saw the guy that I saw in the 450C practice. He's on a Kawasaki, I think, and he framed it so hard that he just walked off the track. Like, he framed it.
I saw that was my, that was, I know that guy, actually. I think it was Carter Stevenson. My gosh. Yes, I saw it, and I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a cool section, and it reminded me of Anaheim a couple years ago when they had those doubles going the other way. I think it ended up being a mud race that night, but it was cool to see something different. You know, not your typical finish line double. That's not very big. This thing was massive. So it was cool to see. And it's always fun to see those different obstacles on the track. What I want to talk about. So we mentioned, you know, you won Salt Lake and you won the Supercross Futures last year, the whole thing, but you were a B rider. And so and I think this is where people have gotten confused is, so you still have to actually race the Futures this year to get your pro license, because they didn't award any points to you as a B rider for Futures, even though you won the whole thing and you won a race and, you know, had a lot of good finishes. I guess it's just the way the rules work. You still have to go and earn your license still as an A rider.
Right. So last year when I signed up for Futures, I was still in B class. So I signed up in the Futures class as a B rider so I could still race the Loretta's in B. And with doing that, they said, okay, we'll let you race, but no, we can't award you any pro points. So that kind of throws a wrench in the plan for this year, which I'm already moving up a year quicker than we thought. So I wasn't, the original plan years ago was to not even do any pro supercross this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really a big deal. But now with how everything's going and the progress everyone's seen, they're like, oh, I think you're ready to go. So yeah, it kind of makes it a little difficult this year. But yeah, a lot of people don't get in. They're like, oh, you're sandbagging futures again this year. I'm like, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't have to. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so now I have to sign up as an A rider and race the first two rounds, which will be Anaheim 2 and Daytona.
Yeah, it is kind of weird that they, I get it, it's the rules, but seeing that you won the whole thing, clearly you have, you know, the talent and skill to earn your license, but you know, it's just part of the rules. And but so when people see that you out there in the futures class at 8-2, calm down, everybody, he has to do it, it's not his choice. You know, so yeah, you know, it is what it is. And then you mentioned the second one's at Daytona, so you'll miss the first few East Coast rounds. Is that what it's like until you get your license?
Yeah, so I'm gonna miss Detroit, Arlington, and Daytona for sure. And then if everything goes well at the two futures, just because I have to top five both of them, so
mm-hmm.
hopefully nothing goes too wrong there at those, and I get the points I need, and hopefully we can go racing in Birmingham for the first pro race.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually, it might be, like you said, it's a year early than you were expecting to race Supercross. And maybe since you have to miss a few of the first few, that you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to get results. And since you're going to miss a few races anyway, it's like, hey, it's really just going to be for learning, right? It's get those races under your belt, stay healthy, stay safe, and get that experience. It's, you don't have to go out there and, you know, win the championship or anything like that. So maybe it'll take a little bit of pressure off since you're not going to be racing the whole series.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world, especially with coming off the shoulder injury and just getting back riding recently. It would have been honestly tough to get fully ready to race Detroit in 4 weeks. So, because this will be my second or third week on Supercross since coming back. So I haven't had much time on the bike anyways. So yeah, I guess it's not too bad because it gives me more time to be able to, you know, get ready to race a pro race.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like a blessing in disguise, but I'd like to go pro racing.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you chomping at the bit and you're just kind of like, man, why can't I go and not have to race these future races?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is always to race the best guys and race pro, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you had that success in Supercross. You went to Loretta's, or you actually raced the Moto Combine at Redbud. You know, you went 1-1, or you got the overall there. I think you swapped Moto wins with Ryder McNabb, but so you proved it. You can, you know, ride outdoors too. You went to Loretta's. I know you won Schoolboy 2 there, I believe it was. I don't know what happened in 250B. I think something happened there. But then you go and you turn pro and race outdoors. I know you had a little rough first. You raced Buds Creek and Ironman. What were your thoughts on going into outdoors and how it was compared to Supercross, right? Supercross is clean. You're in a stadium, your bike, everything's nice and new. And then you go outdoors. It's just a grind for 30 plus two.
Yeah. So looking back on the whole outdoor situation I had last year with racing Loretta, that's what happened in 250B at Loretta's. The reason I DNF and then DNS those last two motos there was that's where I dislocated my shoulder, was in 250B. And so I dislocated it there and it was bothering me for the rest of the week, but I was able to finish out Schoolboy 2 and win the title with it all messed up. And looking back now, I probably should have just gotten the shoulder fixed immediately and not even done the two outdoor races.
Yeah,
because those two outdoor races, you know, I was struggling with the shoulder and having that issue with just getting thrown out there with those guys. I mean, it was kind of, I wasn't happy with the results I had, and I didn't even finish the last moto at Ironman because I crashed. And it's an eye opener though. Those guys are gnarly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy to think, you know, you race on the Supercross, there's two different coasts. So, you know, half those guys are on one coast, half are on the other, which it's still stacked. I mean, look at this week in Anaheim was, you know, the class is pretty stacked and it will be on the East Coast too. But then you go outdoors and it's the classes combined. So I think I read an article where you're saying you were battling maybe at Butts Creek, you were like 15th and you had Kitchener or you had Munford in front of you and Kitchener behind you. And you're like, dude, we're in 15th. Like, how is this even possible? It's
like, yeah, for sure. Cause I remember that was my first pro race and yeah, I come by the mechanics area and my mechanic has like P16 on the board and Levi Kitchener is like breathing down my neck. I'm like, dude, this guy won a moto at Washougal last weekend and he's in 17th battling with me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotta be how, you know, you race futures and you've been around these pro guys at Baker's Factory. So, you know, you see the speed obviously with RJ and all those other guys you're down there with. But being in those motos, your first moto at Butts Creek, you know, I think you got 19th. What surprised you? Is this like just the intensity? No one's getting tired, right? Those top guys are not getting tired. Everybody's going fast. What was one thing that just stood out to you that you maybe didn't expect? And you're just like, man, this is intense.
The biggest thing for me was definitely, if you look at an amateur race, you know, if you're out front or in a good spot, you can kind of like pace yourself and manage the race. Like at Red Bud, I was able to get a gap and not have to like push for too long. Like you push for like 3 or 4 laps and then you kind of settle and then you're good. But at a pro race, like we were 20 minutes in and those guys are not slowing down. Like it's just a gnarly. I was in like a 5-rider battle for 15 minutes straight, like, and everyone is just sending it and they do not slow down. Like there's never a point in the moto where they're like, okay, we're going to slow down here. No, that doesn't come. So yeah, the intensity throughout the whole race is just a lot gnarlier than any amateur race I've ever been to.
Yeah, no, definitely. I can imagine. And also with the nerves and everything, and you're lining up against guys that you've seen on TV for a long time. You're young. So there's guys in the class that have been there for quite a while and you're like, now you have to go race them. So it's just gotta be a pretty surreal feeling.
Yeah. That was another thing that you have to learn to, you can't look at the guy's jerseys in front of you and see who they are. And like, oh, I've been watching this guy on TV for like 6 years. Like he should be better than me. Why is he like right here in front of me? But, yeah, you gotta just pretend
for sure
everyone in front of you is just someone to pass and not someone that you've been watching on TV for the last 5 years.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool. So, you know, you race those two races. Obviously, you had that shoulder injury. So what did you do to your shoulder? And then, you know, you had surgery on it. And how long were you out for?
Yeah, so I tore my labrum in a few spots and it was pretty... That happened at Loretta's, and so it was pretty weak after that for a while. We did some strengthening on it and just tried to, you know, see if it would heal itself without surgery. And so we waited probably, I would say, 3 weeks after Ironman. I took off just to try and get it to heal on its own, and that wasn't working. So then we had to decide to just do surgery. And from the surgery date to my first day back on the bike was like 3 months and a day or something. Mm-hmm. So it was 3 months of just using my left arm basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm right-handed. So that was pretty tough.
No kidding. And
yeah, not riding a bike for 3 months. I mean, get back on, it's a little weird, but everything comes back pretty quickly.
Yeah, especially a shoulder. I've separated my shoulder a long time ago. I didn't have to have surgery. But I imagine think about when we ride, you know, you're using your shoulders and obviously you're using your legs too, but shoulder is something that it's hard to get around if it's not right. And even after you get surgery, I'm sure it's still weak because you haven't used it really in 3 months. So I'm sure it took a while to get that thing, you know, just back. Even if you can do all the rehab you want, it's still, riding is just totally different than, you know, your normal rehab.
Yeah. So it's definitely feeling a lot better now after getting a lot of strength built up in it, but I'm happy with how it feels compared to after I tore it at Loretta's and I raced those two nationals with it torn. Mm-hmm. It felt pretty bad there. So it feels so much better now after getting surgery and coming back riding. It's much better than even when I was riding with it torn before. So which it's weird whenever you go to get surgery on like your labrum or something like that, because you, the day you walk into surgery, like it feels like pretty good, like because I raced with it obviously, so it feels good enough to like do things. I could throw a football on and you come out of surgery and it's like immobile for like a month. It's kind of weird. Like it was like going to the track and like knowing you're gonna walk away hurt. Going to get that surgery, because
that's true.
You wake up that morning feeling good, and then you know by the end of the day you're gonna be in pain and not be able to use your right arm. So
yeah, it definitely is. That's how it'd be weird. Like you said, you're like, I can use it, and then when I leave here I'm not gonna be able to use it for a couple of months. So that's definitely weird. But all together, I mean, going into the beginning of 23 to how it turned out, I mean, I think looking back, you have to look at 2023 as being a pretty successful year. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I basically accomplished all the goals and more that I wanted to, other than the one thing I would want to change is what happened at Lorena's. But other than that, I mean, yeah, with the Futures title, winning the Redbud Combine, and then winning a championship at Lorena's. I mean, I don't know really what else I could have done last year other than winning both titles at Lorena's, which I know I had the talent to do, and I just made a dumb mistake there. But yeah, I was super happy with the year overall, and hopefully we can have a successful 2024 as well.
Yeah, and thinking, you know, you showed what you could do in Supercross, which for amateurs coming into the pros, that's obviously really important, which is strange because you guys grew up your whole life racing, you know, motocross, more Supercross nowadays for the amateurs. But, you know, you showed what you could do in Supercross, which is always important. You know, we see these guys that come in that are successful amateur riders and maybe don't pick up Supercross quick enough, and you know, they're in and they're out. So at least you showed that you were a B rider, but you showed, hey, you know, you won some races in the Futures and you won the championship, that, you know, you can ride Supercross. And I'm sure now that you ride with the guys down there at Vegas Factory, you'll just get even more comfortable with Supercross. And obviously when you turn pro, you know, later on in the year, that, you know, you'll get your feet wet there. But what I wanted to ask you is, thinking back to a couple of years ago, and when we talked the first time we had the podcast with you last year, looking back to when you raced Loretta's on that, your tricked out super mini that you guys built out, that you really didn't have a ride at the time, to now, which was only a couple of years, would you ever expect to be in the spot you are now, or something you just hope for, or looking back at, you know, where you were a couple of years ago to now, or is it pretty a surreal feeling to where you're at?
It's definitely a dream come true to be in a position that I'm in right now on a factory team, being able to race my first half season of Supercross. But yeah, looking back, I mean, especially going out like that on our own with no deal back then, it's always a gamble. So to be able to perform and get to the spot I'm in right now, I'm stoked. And if you would have told me that I would be in the situation I'm in right now at 2021 Loretta's after getting hurt, then I don't know if I would have believed it.
Yeah, for sure. Right. You got hurt there. And I remember you kind of got that Husky deal that was kind of different because it wasn't a full, you know, wasn't the Rockstar team at the time. And then you did get picked up by Rockstar, and now you're, you know, you're on the pro team as well. Is your deal a 1 year or 2 year deal? What's your deal with Rockstar Husqvarna?
It's for 2024 and 2025. So
yeah, that's awesome. So it gives you time to, you know, it's not a make or break, right? Cause that's, you don't want that pressure in your first year is trying to go out there and have to do something you don't want to do just to show your worth. And, you know, if you get hurt, then that's kind of all she wrote, right? So that's cool that they gave you, you know, time to kind of build into it.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, definitely relieves some pressure and gives you a little more time.
So what are obviously you're getting off your injury. You've been riding Supercross. You know, you're going to race the Futures to get your license. What are your expectations for East Coast? Have you set any expectations, or are you just looking at it more as a, you know, learning opportunity? If you look at, you know, Anaheim 1, Julien Beaumaire, who you were racing against last year, I mean, the dude killed it, right? So I don't know if you use that as a gauge, or if you're just kind of staying, you know, to your own program, like, you know, I'm just going to use it as a learning and try not do anything stupid.
Yeah. It's hard to tell right now with not much time, but Definitely, as we get closer, I feel like I'll have more of a goal set in mind for where I want to end up. But it's always a learning experience, and I'm always going to go out there and give it all I have in whatever position that is, it is. And yeah, I'd be happy, which East Coast is going to be super stacked this year. I think it's going to be more stacked than West Coast. And yeah, we'll see. I mean, no really expectations in mind other than go show everyone what we can do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, cool, man. Hey, I appreciate you catching back up with us. And like I said, after the year you had last year, I wanted to chat with you before you really jumped in and made your splash on the pro scene. So yeah, man, stay get that shoulder healthy, go to the futures, get your points. You don't have to light the world on fire. I know you probably want to because you won the championship last year. So you don't want to go out there and just get your points. You kind of want to prove a point, but the bigger goal is to get your license and obviously race East Coast. So yeah, man, stay healthy and get through the futures, and we'll see you at your first race on the East Coast.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.